Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation.
No choice. Nature can deal with kinetic energy one way or another, but it cannot finagle momentum. So it must be.
That's right. So we're going to talk about moment of inertia, which is just made up gibberish language. There's no moment of inertia. There's no such thing. There's just mass. Big things require more energy to move the same speed than little things. And they need, like if they're twice as heavy, you need twice as much energy. And if you're attempting to overcome friction, well then you need even a little bit extra, because heavy things create more friction. Okay, in the standard friction argument of gravity pushing things down, heavy things collect more gravity, more force, because they're bigger, they collect more. More rain gets in their bucket. They're heavier, therefore they give more energy away to friction. Yeah. These are the things I've said. And so these lying comment scum, they can't ever accurately paraphrase or quote anything I've said. And they never respond to a single one of the arguments I've made, where I actually showed Professor Lewin's fake experiment. I showed how the masses can't possibly, what he claims them to be, they can't be. It's impossible unless you say something idiotic. Unless you make some idiotic counter-argument that,
the aluminum is twice, it's more than twice as long. Some kind of retarded statement.
You can't defend it. And I show Brozo's own experiments where he's contradicting himself, okay, where the pool balls almost perfectly duplicate what momentum would predict as the result. That is, the half mass moves with twice the velocity. Those are facts. You don't pay any attention to the facts, and you just recite the same gibberish over and over again. There's no such thing as a moment of inertia. There's no such thing as inertia. There's just mass, and the simple principle that you could call inertia is that heavy things have more mass to move. Yeah, you have to use more energy to push something heavy than you have to use to push something light. I don't need a special word for that. You know, that's just too obvious. It doesn't need a word. Okay. You said, if you can apply 2 joules of energy. So what's the use of this quote? There's no context here. Nobody could read this and say, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. You fucking idiot. All right, joule equals N times M. What the fuck is this? So KM times 2 squared divided by 2, blah, blah. Fuck you. It's all gibberish. What does it have to do with the simple argument that a fucking 10-ton train going 5 miles an hour has exactly the same amount of capacity to move matter in the universe as a 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour? It's the same goddamn amount of energy. All right. That's the argument. That's the one you have to defeat with a piece of fucking evidence. You have to show me a fucking piece of evidence for your argument that there's such a thing as an inertia. Show me the inertia experiment. All right, and energy equals mass moving a speed. Energy equals mass moving a speed. There you go, that's it. That's all there is. There isn't anything else. There's just mass and velocity. Speed is velocity. There's no such thing as scalars and vectors, okay? I mean, you know, when the 10-ton train is coming for you, you're not going to sit there and say, oh, it's only a scalar. It's going in every direction. It's not heading for me. Yes, the tracks are right here. It's heading right for me. But I'll just pretend it's scalar energy. It could go up there. It could be over there. It could be someplace else. It's not energy heading for me. It's fucking retarded. It's so goddamn fucking stupid. How the fuck can you defend some idea that the energy is in some scalar form? What the fuck does that mean? It's so fucking idiotic. Energy is always in a direction. And yes, you have an explosion, the energy's in all the directions, but it's individual pieces of fucking energy. I shoot a shotgun, the little pellets are going in a direction. There's no fucking pellet going anywhere. They're all going somewhere. Fuck, goddamn, you people are such goddamn cheaters and liars to sit there and keep defending this shit and not responding to a goddamn single sentence I actually say. Okay, so, show your units and equation. MV. Energy equals MV. Equals weight. Equals pressure. Equals heat. It all equals the same goddamn thing. And the irony of calling this shit a Joule when Joule actually proved this very point. The whole point of Joule's experiments were to demonstrate, here, I found a way to collect all of the energy so we can measure exactly how much energy something has. And it demonstrates exactly the point. Yes, if you use gravitational logic, I have to go four times higher to go twice the speed. Well, if you use that nonsense, yes, then you can sit there and pretend there's four times more energy, but you're pretending because it's only twice the speed. God, you people are such fucking liars. Twice the speed is only half the distance. I mean, you do twice as much distance to get twice the speed. You do understand that, right? You don't go four times the distance. You only go twice the distance for twice the speed. Okay? In every other circumstance in the universe. And it's only in gravity, where you're using gravity as the force of your acceleration, where the acceleration is so fucking uneven, okay, that the fact is that, you know, you go three times the distance and one time the distance is the same amount of time. So to double your speed, you get the first unit of speed here and you get the second unit here in three times the distance. So you're using one stupid little circumstance to say all physics is based on gravity. You're a fucking idiot. You can't see how you're the fucking idiot here? That's not how the rest of the whole universe works? I drop a twice as heavy thing on a spring. The spring doesn't expand four times as much. Only twice. Fucktard. Alright. I showed you how this example works in an equation with no kinetic energy equation. So again, it's just the same fake, Newton said F equals ma. No, he didn't. There is no, acceleration is just bullshit, okay? Acceleration just has to do with the fact that, yes, there are circumstances where something is gaining velocity and circumstances where something has a constant velocity. But acceleration is just the rate at which you're increasing something's velocity. So what? There's no squared function. You don't sit there and say, it's a simple argument. Okay, if I say gravity is per second, and every second, you know, is another innervation, that's not squaring the seconds. Because I say per second, you don't write that rationally as second squared. You're not squaring any number. There's no number to square to figure out how many seconds you let it fall. It's fell a certain number of seconds. So it's times 9, or times 6, or times 7, how long it fell. That's what it's supposed to be times. It's not times, it's not squared. You don't square it because you use that vernacular. It's completely illogical. Okay, people are so fucking stupid. Alright, so you didn't show any example of anything. So again, you can't point to a single piece of experimental evidence demonstrating your horseshit. You just keep trying to defend horseshit that has zero experimental evidence in defense of it. Zero fucking evidence. Okay, this argument has nothing to do with spheres. Absolutely nothing. The Wikipedia page is covered with it. Okay, because this moment of inertia shit is about doing calculations based on all kinds of geometry moving in circular orbits. Okay, this doesn't have anything to do with the simple argument I'm making, which is if I crash, the thing up in space that, the Universal Space Station, whatever the fuck it is, the International. So it's going a certain speed, 2,000 miles an hour, whatever it is. And I put a brick wall up and I let it crash into it while it's still in its orbit. Or else I say, okay, let's destroy Earth's gravity and then let it crash into a brick wall. It's going to have exactly the same motherfucking momentum. It's going to have the same energy. It's not going to be any more energy or any less energy. So it's the fact that it's in a circular orbit is fucking irrelevant to its particular velocity and fucking energy. It has a velocity and a mass, and that's it. Okay? There's nothing else. You fucking idiot. Alright, this argument has nothing to do with spheres, absolutely nothing. So you can't say that and be at all honest. He's going to reference the Wikipedia page. It's just covered with geometry. Covered with it. Alright. Braking distance. So this is I've already had this argument. The braking distance is fucking irrelevant because you don't brake evenly. Light things do not incur the same friction as heavy things. Any fucking idiot ought to know it's harder to get a big thing going All right, because the big thing sinks into the ground further. Okay, you have to lift it out of its friction. It takes more energy to lift it out of its friction to get it going. And the faster something's going, the less fucking friction there is. If I get a cannonball up to speed, there's a point, you know, where it flies. There's a point where you could say it's just going to roll across the surface. But there's a point where I get it fast enough, it's going faster than the curvature of the Earth, and it ends up flying. It has zero friction then with the Earth. The faster something's going is doing exactly the same thing. The faster I make something go, the less contact it has with the ground and the less energy per foot it's going to give to the goddamn ground. I mean, the fact that you can't understand these simple little frickin'... These are... You know, this is... You have to have a minorly educated engineering brain to be able to figure some of this shit out. And you can't even do that. Even though I've been saying it for 2 fucking years. All right. This is common... No, there's no fucking common knowledge here. You're common bullshit. Okay? You're common delusions about reality. Okay? It's common fact that most people are religious kooks. Okay? The fact that you people can't think rationally and logically and that you fall for nonsense is not my fucking goddamn fault. So use common knowledge nonsense against me as bullshit. Okay? Because it's apparently not common knowledge to you fucking lunatics. Okay, that if you went 4 times the distance, but you only gained 2x the velocity, there's a discontinuity there. Those two things, there's something wrong. 4 times the distance, but only 2x the velocity? It's only 2x the amount of time? Why isn't it 4 times? How can it be the same? Okay, how can each unit of distance be worth the same value if the time is only 2 and the velocity is only 2? Then obviously those little units of distance don't mean much. The 4 units can't be making the same contribution if I only ended up with 2x the velocity and I only ended up taking 2x as much time. Then those units of distance can't mean much. Dumbass. Retard. Trolley Farley, no doubt. Who else would call themselves White Angel Girl? Alright, this is common knowledge. And there is plenty of tests. Liar, show me one. Prove any of this crap you assert. Show me a single fucking piece of decent experimental evidence ever demonstrating that something with, you know, if I inverse the mass and velocity, I have something 2x as massive moving 1/2 as fast. Any circumstance where something 2x as massive and something half as massive moving 2x as fast, show me any circumstance where you have any evidence of this bullshit theory that the lighter object has 4x the energy. If you acknowledge that during the braking there is a constant deceleration until stop, well, of course there isn't a constant deceleration because they're giving away different amounts of energy, just like bowling balls hitting bowling pins. The lighter ball gives the pin, each pin it hits, more energy than the heavy ball can give. Just a fact. But the heavy ball will hit more pins. It will be more durable in its voyage, and it'll give out, it'll distribute its energy less to each pin, but it'll hit more pins. Then this is why 2x the initial speed results in 4x the braking distance. So it's just a lie anyway. You don't have any evidence that actually is the actual fact. So go ahead and show me where they actually did the test. Because if you see where they actually did the test, it comes out 1 to 2.5 or 1 to 3. It doesn't come out to 1 to 4. So this is all just fallacy also. You're fake fucking evidence. You always resort to this, oh, we have evidence. You don't have any fucking evidence. You have Professor Lewin fake experiments. You don't have any fucking credible evidence. Liar. Okay, in this case, blah, 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 bullshit, 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 bullshit. Enough. Putting more topics in one comment will probably not improve anything. There's no topic here. I've made these simple arguments. Do I really have to show you the Brozo experiment? Okay, he has pool balls. One is 1/2 as massive, one is 2x as massive, right? Okay, 2 to 1. All right, and they're going to end up with 11 and 19, okay? 11 and 19 is the outcome. Pretty close to 10 and 20, right? So where did all that fucking extra momentum come from? I mean, you're going to claim it has to be extra energy, right? Because it couldn't go more than 1.4. If I was conserving kinetic energy, it can only go 1.4. How the fuck did it go almost 2? You won't even do that. That minimum. You fucking lying sack of shit. So, by the way, you didn't respond to my second comment on your previous video. Yeah, but I didn't see it, frankly, okay? I only do the comments in this way. I don't go to the videos and look at the fucking comment threads and all that shit. Because no one ever threads a comment anyway. So, yeah, it's down here, so I'll get to it now. But just as a heads up, make a new comment. If you're going to respond to a video I made, make a new comment. Don't put it in the same thread. Okay, breaking distance. There's a lot of, this is Superior Mind's answer to this, but the simple answer is the friction argument. Are you people too stupid to realize that the more gravity pushes you into the ground, the more contact you have with the ground? That's like hitting more pins. It's like having contact with more pins. You can give away more energy. The more friction, the more contact you have, electricity. So the electricity argument's a really good one. If you thought of them as conductors, okay, and you're going to transmit the electricity, from one source to another source. You know that contact really matters. The less the contact, the less energy you can get into the other wire, right? And the more contact, the more energy you can get to the other wire. Contact is essential to giving away your energy. And again, friction is not a counter force. It's fucking you giving away what you have. Your condition and its condition will be blended, and you will equalize your conditions. And that's all you're doing. And you equalize your condition more when you have more contact with the surface. So obviously the heavy thing is giving away more energy in the same amount of time or distance. You fucking idiots. All right, breaking distance. There are a lot of variables that will lead to a variable result for such thing. Yes, of course. There's even more variables than just what I'm saying about gravity. There has to do with the width of the tires and the proportion of the width of the tires to the total mass. And all kinds of things will decide how well you're going to be able to brake, because it's obviously the tires don't get fatter as you get heavier. So if you've got a heavy, you got a 4-ton vehicle and a 1-ton vehicle on the same tires, okay, yeah, there's going to be a variance in how they're going to give away their energy. How much force is observed per moment being material surface? Per moment being material surface to surface dependent being just one factor. How much is absorbed per moment? Yeah, well, how much absorbed, again, is just so obviously connected to how much gravity, okay, is pushing you into the surface. So how much contact you're making with the conductor will decide how much wattage you can put through the fucking wire. Force is lost to heat. Well, I mean, it's lost to a lot of different things. Little pebbles fly around, all kinds of stuff moves around. So you lose it through all kinds of motion. You caused the ground to move, okay? And that's you losing your energy. When the ground that wasn't moving starts moving, the only place the ground can get the energy to move is from you. So it has to come from your energy. Again, like the example of the gravity argument, of something going around in gravity, it doesn't have to apply any force to stay in rotation. It doesn't have to use any of its energy to create the rotation. The rotation is being created by gravity for free. It's providing the energy for that. It doesn't have to lose energy to cause the rotation. So it's a huge, giant difference between you being turned because you crash into a surface and create more friction, and you being turned because gravity pushed you down. That's why they make racetracks with the track, tilted, so the car can go around without losing any speed, because it's goddamn gravity that's going to keep it on the track. Fucking idiots. Again, this doesn't take much reasoning to see that, oh yeah, that's how it works. That's exactly right. If I have to provide the energy for the turn, then I'm going to lose velocity. If something else pushes me to turn, then I don't have to slow down. Force is lost to heat and even vibration sounds. Mass is ill? Yeah, ill. Like a container or a sum of containers for quantities of little arrows. Yeah. I think it's better just to say it's like a wallet for an amount of money. You can put $5 in the wallet, you can put $10 bills in the wallet, you can put $20 bills in the wallet. It's just a wallet with money in it. So you can have a lot of wallets with small denomination bills, or you can have one wallet with a big denomination bill. a big velocity versus a small velocity. And it's all there is, and it's conservation of money. Units of momentum, regardless of how you look at it, it's just a simple vector sum game. I wouldn't even get into this vector sum game because, frankly, there is no fucking vector sum game in the sense that there's no fucking negative energy. There's no fucking such thing as. Okay, if something's going this way, you can't undo it by sending something that way. Fuck. Idiots. Alright, what happened before the Big Bang? So, there's no point in even... I mean, these questions are just so fucking stupid. I'm sorry, it's just a stupid question. What happened before the thing that happened before the Big Bang? Well, what happened before the thing that happened before the thing that happened before the Big Bang? Infinite regression to bullshit. I don't even accept there was a Big Bang. So why do I have to answer this stupid fucking question? Shit. Alright, well anyway, so... Fable is in his response, blah blah blah. But yes, it's all bullshit. There's no fucking goddamn obligation to account for any kind of Big Bang. The whole universe could be oscillating. So what happened before the Big Bang was there was an expansion. It got totally expanded, then it totally contracted, and then totally expanded. Or I'm tending to believe that the whole thing is just a slight expansion and contraction. Galaxies expand and contract, but nothing much else. I mean, I haven't done the calculations, but some of this is sort of, I think people could figure it out on their own. I mean, the Earth is made out of a bunch of heavy elements, and they all had to come from a supernova, technically. And so you're saying, is the universe really old enough for there to be that many supernovas that you have a whole Earth full of supernova particles? I mean, and you have all the rest of the planets, you know, they all have heavy elements in them also. I mean, you have a ton of heavy elements. And is there really enough supernovas that happened? You're getting a little tiny bit from each supernova, a little tiny, tiny bit. Is there really enough? I don't think so. I mean, for 13 billion years? No. I think it's going to be like more like 600 million billion years. But anyway. All right, let's get to the other fucking inertia bullshit comment. Ugh. Okay. Fake trolley white supremacist girl. I don't really like theory lectures and especially professors talking about basics. I don't know why you wouldn't like that. It'd be really nice if a physicist actually talked about basics, frankly. That would be so refreshing to have a basics conversation instead of just some stupid math fucking bullshit. Do this, do that, do this, quadratalize it, do that, do the integral of this, and then you get this. Did I prove any of it? No. Did I actually show you anything? No. Okay. No matter on which topic, exactly as professors talking about things that have no practical application for me, those are just nice stories. So again, I don't even, you know, frankly, you have to go to Leonard Susskind to find abstract lectures. There's a lot of physics lectures on refraction of light and different things that are perfectly reasonable. I mean, yeah, they have a lot of math in them or other kind of bullshit, but they're perfectly, you can follow along. Yeah. Explain what it means when you said that momentum, weight, and pressure are all the same thing. Why do I have to even explain it? How do you measure? I've already explained it, frankly. So here you're lying again, because I've made this analogy hundreds of times. At least 50. Okay, that I can move something sideways, right? You can understand. I could move something sideways. I could take a bathroom scale. And I could move something sideways and have it hit the scale, and it will weigh something on the scale. And the fact is, the weight will be its momentum. That's what you're measuring. The spring is moved by momentum. It's moved by weight. It tells how much pressure you're applying. Your mass times your velocity will equal the pressure you impose on the object you hit, the spring you hit. The spring will collect your momentum. It's weighing you in this direction. Now, obviously, if you weigh 100 pounds, okay, I put you on the scale this way, and you weigh 100 pounds, it means you have a mass, but you must have some kind of velocity, right, to have created pressure on the scale. You can't have zero velocity, then you wouldn't weigh anything. So you must understand, you must have a velocity to weigh something. All right, and that's the trick. And then all I have to do is drop you from a little higher, okay? So I drop you from 1 centimeter, and now you weigh twice as much. And I weigh, drop you from, I mean, 1 centimeter. And I drop you from 4 centimeters, and now you weigh 3 times as much. No, you make 4 times as much. Twice as much as your 1 centimeter weight. And it works. It's just mass and velocity. It turns out exactly like mass and velocity. All you need is mass and velocity, and you'll see your weight, your pressure. So of course they're the same thing. Show me an experiment that shows otherwise. Show me one single piece of evidence showing how springs move 4 times as much. Because they don't. Twice the velocity, twice the movement in the spring. All right. I think that measurement made by pressure meter is real thing for you. I think that measurement made by pressure meter is real thing for you. Just like measurement made by clock and measurement made by voltmetric flow meter. What the fuck are you even talking about? What the fuck? This isn't a response to anything I've said in a video. Who the fuck cares what you're using to measure it with? It's obviously you're just measuring how its mass and its velocity. Can you show me somewhere where any device measures something other than? You will probably agree that water is pretty close to being incompressible. Yes. When you have a pump that makes for easy calculations. So again, I've already shown how if I use a cylinder, you know, and I have a cylinder of a certain size here, and I put 2 cylinders over here, and I tie them together, that I've basically made the 10-ton train and the 5-ton train. And the fact is that if I push on these with the, you know, these, a certain amount, they'll move half the distance that this one will move. So for every motion here, it'll be half the distance, half the amount of volume changed for twice the volume here. So I will be able to create, I'll be able to bang a 10-ton train in here at 5 miles an hour, and I will get a 5-ton train going 10 miles come out. Now, can you logically explain how that's not the truth? How it happens some other way? That some other fact happens? No, you can't. You certainly can't show any evidence. All right, you'll probably agree that the water is blah, 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 blah. Yeah, well, then we're going... I mean, there's no point in writing these formulas. Why don't you just make a video so you can actually write them in some way that's coherent? I mean, m cubed divided by seconds? What the fuck does that even mean? All right, flow at pressure difference between inlet and outlet, 10 PA. Show me your calculations for power needed to run this pump. So again, this is just bullshit. The power needed to run a pump has to do with how much, you know, you're losing in terms of the fact that you have overpressurized the pump to the outlet. And so now you're going to lose some of the energy. So you're not really making a comparison between a twice as massive object and a half as massive object anymore. All right, if we assume the pump has 100% efficiency, why would any moron ever assume you have 100% efficiency in a fucking pump when every person on earth who's ever used a pump knows it gets hot? There's no compressor in the world that doesn't get hot. It's a real problem with compressors. It's where the real waste is. It's a lot of waste. Air conditioners, for example, okay, a lot of waste heating to create the pressure you need to create the expansion later. So yes, not efficient at all. All right. What energy is transferred during 1 second of work of the pump? So this is just so bullshit abstract. I've given you a simple diagram to diagram a lever, diagram a pump, okay, where I'm using weights to change the balance of the pressure. I'm using the pump as a lever to simply point out how this weighs the same as this. Not complicated. I have the 10 mass, you know, the twice as heavy thing on the double size cylinder, and I have the half as light thing on the smaller cylinder. Explain how they won't weigh exactly the same. All right. Example with electric current would also be interesting, just as it would be a heating specific heat and would more complicated if you have a different interpretations of units like voltage. So again, this is just all bullshit. I would like you to make some kind of electrical analogy. Show me your electrical analogy where it's not going to come out exactly as electricity works, which is all there is volts and amps. And that makes watts. The energy equals the speed times the pressure, the volume. And the same thing is true for all the other interactions. It's just mass times velocity. And you can make the same correlation to electricity, and electricity essentially embraces the simplicity of that theory. There is no amperage squared. There's no voltage squared, okay, in electronics. Because it doesn't happen, you can't make free wattage. All right. I also bet that you will say that mainstream calculations are correct. Why would I say that? I'm pointing out to you there's no fucking such thing. All your calculations about anything called the moment of inertia are complete horseshit, because there's no fucking such thing as anything called inertia. There's just a mass and your obligation to move at a velocity, and that's its energy. Period. In a sense that they work, but they are wrong, just as equations of planet motion in geocentric model of universe. So again, that's more horseshit. None of that stuff is wrong, okay, in the sense that nothing's going the speed of light. So there's any relativistic effects don't exist. So they're not wrong. Show your units. Fuck you. I've already shown the units. E equals F equals P equals weight equals heat equals... There, that's the units, fuckhead. Equations and how to use them in practice. I just pointed out how to use them. Every time you see a V squared, cross out the squared, because it's a pile of shit. It's made up nonsense. Per second is not second squared. Sorry for my mistake. I wrote momentum of inertia instead of moment of inertia. Wow, like I would care. Do you really say that moment of inertia for mass m at distance r is the same for mass half the thing at distance r squared? I mean, 2r. No, I'm saying exactly that. It's 2. 2r means that you've doubled the velocity. I go twice the distance on the lever, I'm doubling the velocity. I go 3 times the distance, I've tripled the velocity. I go 4 times the distance, I've quadrupled the velocity. I haven't squared anything. So if you're squaring something, you're not going to get right answers. That's my overt statement to you. If you're squaring, then I can put a double mass here and a half mass over here on the lever, and your calculations will say one of the objects has twice as much energy as the other, even though the balance says they weigh exactly the same. All right, when it comes to point mass rotating around an axis perpendicular to it, so again, this is totally irrelevant, doesn't have anything to do with energy. Doesn't matter that the space station is in a goddamn orbit. All it has is mass and velocity. And if I get rid of gravity, holding it in the orbit, it still has the same mass and velocity. Nothing changed. Okay. In one place. What is your formula for a moment of inertia in this example? Again, there's no moment of inertia. There's just the simple fact that if something weighs twice as much, you have to use twice as much energy to make it go twice as fast. I mean, that's all. If you want something twice as heavy to go as fast as the thing that's half as light, you have to use twice as much energy, because there's twice as much matter to move. All right, volume is the third power. Volume is in third power, so bell with 5 radius, so another bell. Again, so you say it's not about this stupid geometry and spheres, and then you sit there and using a spherical argument. That just has to do with the distribution, how much mass there is in certain locations. So now you're just saying, how big is the object? Well, if I'm using a sphere, then I can't say I have twice the mass. I have to say I have 4 times the mass, because the sphere makes 4 times at that location. Because of the inverse square law, retard. Okay, when masses are not a scale lever, there is angular momentum. There's no such thing, okay? There's just momentum. There's no angular momentum. I mean, in, beyond the fact that you have to use energy to cause something to stay, okay, in a circular path. And it has nothing to do with the example because they are like single body. The whole mass is made out of individual pieces of mass. So no matter what object I have, it's made out of individual little atoms. And each atom will have a certain velocity, and that's the total velocity of the object. So the little ones inside are moving very slowly. The ones on the outside are moving very fast. That's all there is. There's nothing else. The total energy is just the total mass moving an average velocity for the whole object. So obviously if the ones on the inside are moving 5 miles an hour and the ones on the outside are moving 25 miles an hour, then obviously the average is going to be something like 15. Okay, why do you think that moment that, why do you talk about moment, I mean momentum, when coordinate system is connected to axis of lever? There's no coordinate system connected to the axis of the lever. Again, in all the examples I'm giving, you're not connected to the lever. You don't have to make any rotational path. And even if you do, the lever is doing that work. The lever is deciding the direction. Your mass isn't losing velocity because the lever is moving you through a curved line. The curved line, all that energy comes from the lever itself. Okay, the energy the object is getting is still going to be twice the velocity, even if it takes a curved path, because its energy isn't causing the curved path, the lever is. All right, with the way of reasoning, the ball bounces off the ground, there is no conservation of momentum. So there's absolutely nothing in anything I've described or drawn or shown that demonstrates I don't completely, am not completely obedient to the conservation of momentum. And if you can show any example where I do not conserve the momentum, fine. But you're not doing that. There's nothing I've drawn where I violate conservation of momentum. So you're just lying. This is not an isolated system. Fuck this stupid word. Doesn't mean anything, okay? There's just real motion in the three-dimensional universe. And if you have two things leaving with momentum, you have twice as much energy, not zero energy. Okay. Of course, there is always conservation of momentum in isolated systems. There's conservation of momentum in all systems. You can never destroy momentum. All right. All right, I should accept the momentum of force when you slow it down by having it push matter. All right, continuation of an example with a lever. So again, I've already given all these examples and you haven't responded to any of them. You haven't responded to the challenge to show me a single video demonstrating the lever producing this kinetic energy result. Okay, you haven't shown anywhere that when I put the 5 mass twice the distance as the 10 mass, that somehow it doesn't go twice as fast. You have no fucking evidence. All right. Mass M at distance R and B, mass 5, blah, 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 whatever. When you want to move A with the same angular acceleration. So again, it keeps talking about angular acceleration, which has nothing to do with anything in the experiments because nothing is tied to an angular path. The things can freely move in linear paths. Okay, I'm dropping an object on one side, the other side is launching the object, and there's no obligation for it to travel a curved path. There was no obligation in Brozo's experiment with pool balls. The pool balls didn't take curved paths. Okay, they left the lever with a mass and a velocity in a straight line. So quit confusing the subject. There's no fucking angular obligations here, and if there are any, again, the lever is forcing the path change. The object's energy does not have to be destroyed or diminished to produce the circular motion, just like the space station doesn't have to use its energy to curve its path. Gravity is curving its path. Okay, with the same angular acceleration as B, at the same angle than B, there will be twice the linear acceleration and linear force as A, because but the distance will be two times longer. Of course, it's going twice as fast, so it travels twice the distance. Yes, duh. Not four times the distance. Okay. How the energy needed can be the same in A and B. So again, this isn't my obligation to explain. I've already explained it. Okay, space station is not producing its angular path. Gravity is. Gravity is providing the turning energy. Okay, the lever provides the turning energy. The object on the lever doesn't. And again, the examples I'm using have nothing to do with this angular crap because they're not angular examples. They're not bent path examples. They're linear examples. Okay, what ideal scale sees is force. What ideal scale sees is force. And force is not only mass, but also acceleration. So this is just more nonsense. It has nothing to do with the subject of the fact that it leaves the lever with a mass and a velocity. The pool balls leave the lever with a mass and velocity. Okay, this has nothing to do with acceleration. This has to do with final velocities. All right, you said that work, pressure, heat are the same. Yes. What does it mean? Well, I don't know what the fuck you could be arguing with. What does it mean? Doesn't matter. You can call it a joule. You can call it a foot pound. That's what they used to call it, foot pounds. Okay, period. That's it. That's all you need to know. It has the capacity to produce an amount of pressure. So it just doesn't matter what you want to call that pressure, how you want to quantize it. Doesn't matter. You can call it any unit you want. Call it pressure. Okay, one pressure, two pressures, three pressures. Or you can call it pounds, weight. Is energy. So the more weight something has, the more energy it has when in motion. Period. All right, if it's going 10 miles an hour and it weighs twice as much, it has twice as much energy than something that weighs 5 pounds or something going twice as fast. All right, you said how could have velocity be even relevant as squared function? How could have velocity? I didn't say that. I'm pretty damn sure I didn't say how could have velocity. I'm damn sure I didn't say that. Be even relevant as squared function. How can velocity be a squared function? There's no three dimensions of velocity. Velocity is one dimensional. It's linear. It's always one dimensional. How the fuck can it be a squared or cubed function? There's no fucking reason for you to even contemplate the possibility of it being squared ever being relevant, that somehow squaredness of a velocity could be relevant to some sort of proportionality. It doesn't have any meaning. It's so fucking idiotic. There's no volume of velocity. The volume is in the mass. Okay. Or something like this. My reply, V0 equals 0 seconds, 0 blah 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 blah. Explain why blah 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 blah. Total shit. All right, so draft science, you're wrong. Okay, so that's just says you. The moment of inertia is a simple pendulum given by, so again, they're using an example where gravity is moving the pendulum. So I can, you know, so yes, the pendulum, you still have to go 4 times higher to get twice the velocity. Okay, you're bound by gravity in the case of the pendulum. To gain your velocity, you have to go 4 times the distance. The lever, no, you're not, because you're doing the direct conversion. The pendulum can't do the conversion. When the pendulum uses the uneven masses, you don't get a Newton's cradle because it can't do the conversion. The lever does the conversion. That's why this side moves only twice the distance. Not 4 times the distance, twice the distance. Fucktard. Look it up in Wikipedia. So again, let's just go to the Wikipedia page real quick. I'll just demonstrate how this Wikipedia page is a pile of shit. Doesn't have anything to do with any real physics. It has zero application. It predicts zero. It shows zero. It's completely kinetic energy mush. It has nothing to do with anything real in any circumstance. It predicts nothing of real connection to anything real. It says nothing, it means nothing. It's meaningless gibberish. Moment of inertia is meaningless shit. All right, the simple argument is I put a half mass, twice the distance on the lever, then the double mass, and it's a perfect balance because they do weigh the same because their motion, okay, their mass and velocity are completely equal. All right, so here's the Wikipedia page. And, you know, it just doesn't say anything here that makes any sense. But measures the extent to which an object resists rotational acceleration. So again, nothing resists acceleration. You have to give something money before it has money. You have to give something paint before it has paint. Okay, nothing resists having paint on it, right? It doesn't resist having a color. You have to provide the color. You have to provide it. If you don't provide it, it doesn't have any. There's no resistance involved at all. It's that you have to take it from some place. You have to take something from one place to give it to another thing. All right? That's all there is. So this is just such gibberish right from the start. There's no resistance to motion. Okay, about a particular axis. It is the rotational analog to mass. So again, just understand, they're saying it's the rotational analog to mass, but they're talking about, in like this other asshole, about something like a pendulum, when these aren't equivalents. There's nothing equivalent about how pendulums accelerate and how when I push something it accelerates. It's not the same thing. They can't be called the same thing. They can't be used as analogs because they're not analogous. One of them is completely broken in the sense that time and velocity aren't connected to distance. And in the other case, distance, time, and velocity will be exactly the same. If I push something in space at twice the speed, okay, it's going to take twice the time. All it's going to be is the same exact. All the numbers are going to match, okay? And they're not going to match if I'm using gravity as the initiator of the action because gravity doesn't work the same way as contact force. Okay. Analog to mass, which determines an object's resistance to linear acceleration. So again, they keep talking about mass being a resistance to linear acceleration. How is it resisting acceleration? It's sitting there saying, go ahead, accelerate me. I mean, the boulder on top of a little tiny boulder, right? And it's sitting there, and all you have to do is blow on it, and it'll fall over. It's not resisting motion. It's just saying, well, blow on me, and I'll fall over. Okay, the moments of inertia of a mass have units of dimension ml squared times mass times length squared. Wait, what the fuck is this? So you can just looking at it, you can say, what the fuck is that? Units of dimension? What the fuck are you talking about? Dimensions of an amount of inertia? What do you mean? There's no dimensionality. Okay, it should not be confused with the second moment of inertia. So another pile of jargon. Or the second area moment, or the quadratic moment of area, and also known as the area moment of inertia. So it has 15 names, and it's a non-existent fake thing, okay? It's a geometrical property of the area which reflects how its points are distributed with regard to the arbitrary axis. So again, just more horse shit. What does that mean? And it certainly is just being applied to spheres, okay? Which is used in beam calculations. Calculations that do what? Oh, they're comparing the beam is made out of a cross-section, and the cross-section is multiplied multiple times. Okay. The mass moment of inertia is often known as the rotational inertia. So again, just keep saying, it's just being redundant. And sometimes as the angular mass. So all this is just bullshit. There's just mass and motion. Obviously, the stuff on the outside of a sphere rotating are going to be moving faster, and so they can be lighter. And the things on the inside are going to be moving slower. I mean, there's nothing to figure out here. Okay, for example, objects with geometric symmetry. So again, now we're just arguing spheres. Okay, one can often determine the moment of inertia at an exact closed form expression. Right, and there's nothing to calculate. You're just calculating how much mass is in that entire radian. You just take them as individual little radiuses, and you can just calculate how much mass is in that location. And then you could say, it's a single object, it's a single object, it's a single object. And then you could just make the lever argument, and you don't need to square any of these terms then. Okay, typically occurs when the mass density is constant. So again, these are all the rules. But in some cases, the density can be vary throughout the object as well. In general, it may not be straightforward to symbolically express the moment of inertia of shapes with more complicated mass distributions and lacking symmetry. So again, this is about not single objects moving, it's about hunks of mass in different configurations or shapes moving. So they're talking about moving a hexagon in a rotation and calculating how much mass there is in any one radius. Obviously, that's a more complex calculation. This is not lever mechanics. So look at all of these diagrams. All these diagrams have to do, this is the only one that has anything to do with something almost comparable. But clearly it's not comparable because guess what? The velocity and mass of these objects are tied together. They're on a rigid bar. So when this little mass hits a surface, it's got the momentum of the big mass. It's got the total momentum of both of these masses because they're tied together. So it has nothing to do with these lever arguments. Absolutely nothing. Every one of these other arguments is about complex shapes. So none of this has anything to do with any of the arguments I'm making, okay? I'm not spinning triangles. I'm not doing any of this horse shit. This is all bullshit for you to say this moment of inertia crap has anything to do with how levers function. It doesn't have anything to do with it whatsoever, okay? It's not about angular momentum. It's all fucking goddamn a bullshit dodge. Look at all of that. And you're going to pretend to me that, oh, I'm cheating by saying this doesn't have anything to do with what I'm talking about? There's not even a pendulum in this fucking diagram here. There's no pendulums in the entire fucking goddamn page. And you're telling me I have to fucking relate to this? This has something to do with what I'm talking about? Fuck you. It has nothing to do with anything anybody should be talking about because there's no fucking such thing as moment of inertia. There's no fucking such thing. Okay, there's just mass, and mass needs energy to move. So you have to apply energy or the mass doesn't move. Fuck. God. Ugh, I just hate you people. Anyways, it's bullshit. This bullshit distraction that has something to do with angular momentum or moments of inertia. This is horseshit. It doesn't have a goddamn thing to do with any argument comparing 1/2 mv² to mv as which one is the rational answer for which one equals energy. One of them is fictitious, made-up religious kookery, and the other one is solid, Galilean, Descartesian, Newtonian rationality. And you've chosen badly. And that's all there is to talk about, is why you're a stupid dupe for nonsense religion. Why are you believing in a fantasy, a fairy story, for which there is zero physical evidence? And again, I could point to the Mythbusters video. Do you really think they tried to make it not work? That they tried to prove that kinetic energy doesn't exist? No. That's not what they were trying to do. But they certainly did do it pretty goddamn convincingly. The cars proved it, and the goddamn clay proved it. And here you are arguing with me like I have no reasonable faculties because I don't believe in your fantasy, your fucking fairy story that you've never proven with any evidence ever. You've never, ever, ever, ever shown that it takes 4 times more gas to go twice as fast. You can't show it because it isn't the fucking truth, and you just keep preaching your goddamn fairy story in an arrogant fucking way like you know something. You don't know shit about what science is. Science isn't supposed to be duped and fooled by crap that doesn't have any fucking evidence. You're not supposed to be paying attention to fucking theories that have zero evidence supporting them. You fucking assholes. So, enough of a video. So, this has been another DraftPhysics.com video presentation. If I didn't say so, I hate you fuckers. I do. I really do hate your guts. You're so fucking belligerently stupid. I mean, you're not fucking defending anything here. And again, you're not counter-arguing any of my points. None of them. You're all so fucking cowardly. Draw a fucking lever and explain how the 1.4 thing happens. Show it!